We're gonna skate to one song only.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. It is very, very late, or depending on where you are, what time zone, very, very early. What time is it? What time is 12:59? The Buccaneers have just destroyed the Cleveland Browns.
No.
That didn't happen.
Did not. No.
It was last year.
No. Okay. Well,
Mayweather destroyed Conor McGregor.
That did happen.
Yes, that did.
Yeah,
happen.
We may be a little late doing the podcast because of that, or we may not be. Anyway, we are going to recap the Buccaneers' loss to the Cleveland Browns tonight.
It's about time I listening for the damn Bucs news, not some fight.
Go back to sleep, Uncle Stan.
Dag nabbit.
I feel like the Buccaneers have had the weirdest final scores in the preseason.
Yeah, they've all been odd numbers. Wait, that's not true. They had 12.
Yeah,
well, they were kind of odd, though, in the fact that they haven't scored any friggin' touchdowns except for two out of three games.
Touchdowns are overrated in the NFL.
It's true.
No.
Very true.
Not really.
Yeah, it was not a pretty performance. Listen, the third preseason game is the dress rehearsal.
Dirk Cutter was asked about this game tonight, and he summed it up in one word. Blah.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Blah. Yeah. And it was blah.
It was blah. The weather was blah. The crowd was blah.
The offense was blah. The pass rush was blah.
Right.
It was weird because as we were watching the game, I felt like the Browns had a bunch of big plays and 3 points.
Yeah.
Like the whole first half.
Yeah.
It was just a really weird game.
Yeah,
it was a weird game.
But a stark contrast to last year when the Buccaneers just completely waxed the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote about this in my post-game column. It's like, you know, the Browns are not a playoff-caliber team.
No.
But the Bucs are supposed to be. And it didn't look like there was a lot of separation between the two tonight.
Are the Buccaneers good enough to just flip the switch September 10th?
We're going to find out. And you know, to their credit, I guess you could say, there's a lot of starters that weren't playing tonight. Gerald McCoy was out. William Golston was out. Quan Alexander was out. Brent Grimes. The defense was depleted. Those are four big names.
Right.
Offensively, you didn't have two of the five offensive linemen. Damar Dotson was out. Kevin Pampa was out. They didn't have DeSean Jackson or Mike Evans, receivers number one and two. But it wasn't like the cupboard was bare. You had Adam Humphries. You had Cam Brate. You had O.J. Howard and Chris Godwin, who looked really good with four catches for 56 yards. It wasn't like Jameis Winston didn't have people to throw to.
Well, I mean, he threw for 200 yards in the game in the time that he played into the third quarter.
Through his first pick, it was a bad pass. Cam Brate was I think open by a step in the red zone, but the pass sailed on him. It was picked off by Jabril Hooker.
Yeah, Jabril Peppers.
And
Jameis talked about that in his post game press conference, that it was just a bad throw that was on him. And he's got to be more precise with that throw. And that's something Dirk Cutter's talked about. And we've seen Jameis be more accurate in this preseason, completing over 70% of his passes.
Yeah, he has.
And that was pretty close to that again tonight. But again, when you get down in the red zone, you can't stall. And that's been the problem really through three preseason games with this team. And Dirk talked about it again tonight. Penalties, turnovers inside the red zone. They've got to get that fixed.
And I wrote about it in the Fab Five. Mm-hmm. And it's like the goal is to get 60% touchdown efficiency in the red zone. And the Buccaneers aren't close to that at all.
They're not even above 50, right?
Through preseason games. No, they're – I would say with this game included, no, they were at 40% coming in. So they've got to be well below that now.
Yeah. And you know, Dirk said it, if it was an easy fix, they would just fix it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of Dirk's line he's used since he's been the head coach and even the offense coordinator. If it was easy, we would just fix it. But the question they're going to have moving into Miami, because they're not going to have an opportunity to fix it next week because
that's the
starters aren't going to play.
Yeah.
So as we were asking, you know, are they going to be able to just flip the switch, turn it on, and get things going?
I think they're lucky that they're playing the two opponents that they are at the beginning. I said that before and you guys kind of gave me crap about it because every game in the NFL is a tough game, I know, but Miami secondary is awful. You would think they have a chance there, and then Chicago is the second game.
Yeah.
So,
well, I tell you what, Trevor, you make a good point about the fact that the secondary for Miami is awful. Oh my gosh, it's like, can the Bucs run the ball effectively?
Yeah.
I mean, Jacquizz Rodgers struggled throughout the preseason to run the
ball. He's been kind of average.
Yes, Doug Martin has been clearly their best running back. Mm-hmm. He's out
He's
for the first three games.
Well, the good news is they have Peyton Barber.
Sure.
Just kidding. No, and I like Peyton. The Buccaneers like Peyton as well. But listen, it's gonna be Rodgers starting week one. I mean, it has to be, and he was the team's leading rusher last year.
Yeah. Charles Sims did not get a carry tonight.
That's true. He didn't carry the ball.
Did not get a carry. Had one catch for 4 yards.
Neither did Blake Sims. I know that we've got some Alabama fans around here that are cheering for Blake Sims, but I don't know what's going on. Best running back tonight, Russell Hansborough.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, it was.
He's probably not going to be on the roster.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe a practice squad guy. Let's switch the defense real
quick. Yeah, we're not
even
talking about the most worrisome thing about this team, and that is for the third game in a row now, there's been no pass rush. At all.
Dirk Cutter's exact words when I asked him about that tonight were, it's non-existent. And you saw what life looks like without Gerald McCoy. It's scary.
Yeah.
And there's a good chance at some point this year because Gerald gets banged up. Yes. I mean, he's missed time. I mean, he may miss some time, and that is a scary proposition because right now they don't have anybody that really can dominate. Noah Spence did finally get a sack tonight,
but that sack was created.
Yeah,
it was
brought the nickel corner, flushed the quarterback out, and he happened to be there. But they've got to find a way to generate some pass rush or at least some disruption. But Deshaun Kizer and who was the Cody Kessler, they've had all day to sit back there and throw the football.
Three out of the five sacks the Bucs have had this preseason have come off blitzes. Mm-hmm. And the Bucs only have two sacks by starters on defense. And that's through three games. And it's just not good enough.
Defensively, let's keep talking about the defense. Run defense was okay again tonight. Yeah. I don't remember what the final stats were.
They were really good to start.
But, I mean, they were missing.
And then Duke Johnson had like a 40-yard run out of nowhere.
But, yeah, you take that 40-yard run away, which I know that you can. But if you take that away, they were pretty stout against the run.
Yeah, the first team at least. Yeah,
the linebackers in there, including Kendall Beckwith, Darius Glanton, who's really shined during this preseason.
Yeah.
Levante, he didn't play. Did Levante play?
Yeah, he did. He had the tip, the pass. Got Vernon the INT.
Hargraves had a sensational game tonight. I thought he was solid.
I thought he did. He ended up, I think, with three pass defenses.
Hargraves has probably had the best preseason on the defense, right?
I would agree. He's had two of the three Bucs takeaways, and that's something else that we talked about in the last podcast, and I mentioned in my Fab Five, is for you to be a dominant defense, you've got to do a couple things. You've got to be a pass-rushing sensation, after the quarterback, and they're not.
They're not.
And you got to create takeaways, and they're not. They've had three takeaways in three preseason games, and that's not nearly enough.
Flipping it back to the offense, something that surprises me is the struggles in the red zone, because what's the one thing this team does every day?
They work on the red zone relentlessly during practice, and then Jameis with Cam Brate, mm-hmm. with O.J. Howard, sometimes with Adam Humphries. They work on the red zone all the time.
I have to think it's coming. Like, the success is just going to, at some point, because it's really crappy timing how...
But is it going to be gradual, or are they going to flip the switch,
that's
like
the
Mark
thing,
said?
Yeah, I don't know, because it's just crappy timing. That tonight, they didn't have Evans or Jackson. Humphries gets hurt, and so it's like, okay, well, here's this dress rehearsal with the star actors not there.
Well, let's just say this, though. If this was Miami, I would say 95% of the guys that were held out tonight would be playing. I mean, there wasn't any major significant injuries.
Yeah, I think Quan. Yeah, I think Quan would have played.
I think
Mike
would have played.
Evans probably plays.
Evans plays. Yeah.
Golson probably plays. So and McCoy plays probably.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's a situation where we're flipping out a little bit because of the inefficiency. However, Mike Evans did play last week. Mm-hmm. Mike Evans did play in week one, and they struggled there. Cam Brate was in there, and O.J. Howard. And they had all those weapons they've been working with in the red zone.
But, sometimes you can look at the preseason and say, it's an aberration, it's just preseason. Other times you can look at it, and it actually starts a trend, either in a good way or a bad way. Last year we saw the Buccaneers' running game never get on track in the preseason.
Yeah.
That carried over into the season. It was an issue all year long. And granted, Doug Martin getting hurt in week two didn't help out, but Doug Martin did not have a great preseason last year either.
Right.
And so this running game showed some signs of life in Jacksonville, but didn't really do much tonight.
And I'm not going to pick on anybody in particular, but Evan Smith is not your best guard.
That's true.
Ali Marpet is still learning the
Leonard
position
Wester
there.
Started at right tackle.
That's definitely not ideal. But as Trevor was saying, these first two games, look, they've got to figure out a way to do it because they need to start the season 2-0. I mean, they have an opportunity to play against Jay Cutler, quarterback. They have an opportunity
to
play against...
If you want to go to the playoffs, you got to do a couple of things. You have to win at home. We talked about that in the Fab Five. and then, you know, you have to win them all. That's the goal. But you got to win at least five or six. Yeah, the history shows that this franchise, five or six wins at home,
right,
will set you up more than likely for the playoffs. And this team showed last year it could win on the road. But the real formula is you have to win the winnable games, and then you got to you know, probably split in the NFC South, and then you've got to steal a game or two that maybe you're not favored to win. They did that last year, right, against the Seahawks. They did that last year against the Chiefs.
Yeah, the Chiefs. Chargers.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. But as you said, this season, it's the schedule starts off with some what appear to be like very winnable games,
right,
especially the first two out of the gate. They can't afford to come out with another lackluster showing like they did tonight, and even in Jacksonville and certainly in Cincinnati, and stub their toe. Because if they do, 9-7 may not get you in the playoffs. It didn't last year. 10-6 in some years doesn't get you in the playoffs.
Right.
The Bucs saw that firsthand in 2001.
I'm just worried about the pass rush,
man. 2010.
2010, yes.
Yeah, you're 10
my, years my one behind. And my zero.
That's all right. It's late. We're going to forgive you. Just like you'll forgive me for saying Lavonte David didn't play.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Hey, so speaking of numbers, you know, listen, from time to time we get asked advice, right? That's why I always tell people to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been in this business for years, and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses. So right off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payouts. Seriously, in just two business days. That's the one thing that when we're talking about, you know, mybookie.ag coming on board as a sponsor of our podcast, and you're going to be hearing about them throughout the year, their reputation is sterling. You know who's going to win, right? Lay down some cash and win big today. So if you want to get into, you know, the sports betting business, I highly recommend mybookieag.com. I'm sorry, mybookie.ag. They are the best in the business. And I would only recommend them to our listeners because they've been that way to me. When I look to, you know, to place a bet, I go to MyBookie. Because if you win, they pay. They have in-game, live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and an all-new mobile site that makes wagering on the go a breeze. So we got a special promotion. So if you're out there, you want to get, you know, excited about football season, if you want to win some money, join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit up to 100% bonus. Use the promo code Pewter to activate that offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Would it be crazy? Isn't it crazy, though, that people bet on preseason football sometimes?
They bet on everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Degenerates.
Yeah, they really do.
My favorite thing is the prop bets during the Super Bowl, the coin toss. There was actually one last year, this true story, if Joe Buck was going to be clean-shaven or have the goatee. Because there were times last year when he had both.
Yes,
season, so.
Right.
Anyway, that
like a home and away facial hair, right?
Now, if I'm Joe Buck, I would have definitely bet on that because I would have guaranteed.
Exactly.
Anyway, back to the game.
I think they would have probably done something about that.
Yeah, I don't think that would have. They probably would not have taken his bet on that.
Sure.
I'm guessing. Thank you, Captain Obvious.
How far down the line do you think he would have to go to get away with it? You know what I'm saying? Like a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend placed a massive bet that he would be clean shaven.
Yeah, they may have canceled that bet at the end when they realized that was a stupid bet. That's too easy to control. Anyway,
we got a bunch of small bets and then $500,000 on this random guy.
From a guy named
Michael Buck.
Bojack. Anyway, I'm going to start using that as my club name.
There you go.
Anyway,
you don't hit the clubs. You're retired.
No, dude. I'm clubbing. I'm
no.
clubbing fool. Yeah, I am.
You're not.
Yeah, me and Jude, we run the clubs.
Speaking of Jude, the interesting thing is he's released. We never saw that fight happen. Was he ducking you? Did he fake the injury to get cut so he wouldn't have to fight you in lot six?
Look, man, I'm not gonna say anything. You guys can formulate your own opinions of that.
I'm just saying it's awfully coincidental, the timing.
And everybody thought he was gonna beat me. Of course, there was a lot of people who thought McGregor was gonna win tonight too, and that didn't
pan out
exactly. So anyway. One fight that did happen, of course, was the Aguayo Folk fight. Roberto Aguayo was cut after preseason week one, and Nick Folk struggled last week. And I wrote about it in the most impressive
list. I thought
you
were going to talk about an actual fight between them.
No, well, there may have been. But
I put money in Nick Folk on that one.
Yeah, I would too. Anybody that shaves their head, I think, is kind of scary to me. Nick's bald. I don't even make eye contact with him in the locker room. he just walks around with a permanent glare.
Have you seen his wife? She's pregnant, and she's like pushing sleds and doing, you know, like CrossFit and stuff.
Well, I'm sure he makes her do that.
I don't know.
Stay in shape. She's, you will be.
Seems
in
like
shape.
A go-getter.
Meanwhile, he's a kicker.
A very wealthy kicker.
Yeah.
Well, he spent 8 or 9 years in the league doing anything. You're going to make decent money. But
is that the best job in the NFL?
No.
Long snapper.
Backup quarterback is.
Long
you never get on the field.
Right,
you hold a clipboard.
Yeah, right,
but
you might. That's the thing. You might get on the field.
Yeah, but backup quarterbacks
so what's
are
the best
paid
job?
In this day and age.
Yeah,
I think punter's the best job. Because you get in the game.
No, you still get hit.
But you can't blow it.
Oh, yes, you can. You can drop the snap. You can get your punt blocked.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
did you not watch
Michigan
State a couple years ago?
Exactly. They lost the game on a punt.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
The guy just dropped it. The other team picked it up, ran it in, and scored. So,
I mean, if you're not an idiot.
Wow.
Speaking of punters,
speaking
Brian
of idiots.
Anger, 7 punts downed inside the 20.
He's the GOAT.
7.
He's the GOAT.
And I wrote about this. Listen. We can talk about Jason Light and Anthony Collins and Michael Johnson and some
Josh
of the
McCown.
Other guys that didn't pan out. But I think the free agent signing of this guy is one of his best, most brilliant.
His most unheralded.
Brian Anger was a defensive weapon tonight for this football team.
Without a doubt.
And when
it's
you
a shame that
didn't help.
I was going to say, it's a shame the offense didn't, like, you know, take advantage of that.
Well,
some shorter fields, but
you know what would have helped? Michael Johnson if he was good.
That's true.
Deshaun Golson if he knew how to hit legally.
Wait, no, he didn't sign Deshaun.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Dominic, sorry.
Yeah.
But anyway, Folk wins the kicking battle, struggles in Jacksonville.
Now he's 7 of 8.
Who was more relieved tonight, Buccaneer fans, Nick Folk or Dirk Koetter? Because Dirk was not happy last week up in Jacksonville.
Yes. Yeah, Nick Folk was perfect
block.
Tonight,
yep.
And he's now 7 of 8 in the preseason with his kicks.
Now, I'm no
field
mathematician,
goals.
But that's pretty good percentage.
That's 87%.
Exactly. Yeah. A little better than Roberto Aguayo's 71 point, whatever it was last year. Anyway, anybody know how Aguayo did tonight with the Bears?
The Bears play?
I don't know. They should have. It's Saturday night.
We only
most
did
the games
two things.
Played.
We watched the game. We watched the fight. We're doing this podcast.
And
that's
we're not
going to
tell you which order we did it. Oh, wait. We will. But the fight happened after the game.
Correct.
Anyway.
No, we watched it before. They taped the fight.
Well, the fight happened earlier. It was in Japan.
It was.
Yeah, so it was tape delayed like the Olympics. A few more minutes left in this podcast. It's going to be
like
a little bit
landing,
more brief
right?
when... Yes, moon right. landing's fake. Wrestling is real.
Okay, sure.
That's wrestling?
Wrestling.
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 Yeah.
Is it wrestling or wrestling?
Wrestling.
Wrestling.
In apostrophe.
You
don't
put
the G
that?
On there. WRASSLIN. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. How else would you spell it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Call it wrestling.
You uncultured
huh?
swine.
In the Midwest, we called it wrestling.
Well, that's because you're from the Midwest.
I guess so.
You just don't have any sense.
But you're a big fan of the Big 12, too, huh?
Of course.
Yeah.
We like offensive
fake,
football.
Fake
I was going to say, the non-existent defense.
Fake football.
Kansas State's got some defense. Hold your tongue.
I keep hearing that.
Hold your tongue.
Every time I watch Kansas State, it's a 48-42 game.
That's not true.
Every time.
It's not true.
What was the lowest amount of points they held the team to last year?
I don't know.
Exactly.
It's late, and I can't. I'm not a commander of last year's facts. I'm already on the 2017.
You're not a commander of yesterday's facts.
That's true.
Neither am I at our age. But anyway, luckily we have a youngster
Trevor,
on the staff who can remember those things.
It's coming. I'm telling you, son.
I'm not
going to
remember Big 12 stats.
You're not going to remember anything when you're in your 40s. That's the point.
Yeah, that is the point. All right, let's wrap up this preseason game. Are you worried? Are you disappointed? You know, can they fix it? They've got basically 2 weeks to fix it.
Yes. They've got enough talented athletes that at full strength, this team has the makings to be explosive on offense, to score points. It's not like Jameis Winston's never thrown a touchdown pass. He's thrown plenty in his first 2 years. He just hasn't done it in 3 preseason games. I think through 4 quarters, you know, he flips a switch, turns it on, and I think that this team still is favored to win in Miami, in my book. I think Trevor's on to something. The biggest concern is the pass rush. I think that there's enough weapons that they're going to find a way to get some touchdowns on the board. What concerns me is, especially with this 4-3 defense, is not being able to get home with the 4-man rush. Now, we haven't seen a lot of stunting, haven't seen a lot of games going on. It's been a lot of straight-up rush. you know, mano a mano, and I don't think the Buccaneers have the athletes to win in that situation. But it might take some blitzes
to get home. We know that's going to happen. This team has run a blitz period in nearly every single one of the training camp practices that we watched. We also saw something last week for the very first time.
3-4 look.
So, yep. I mean, there are some wrinkles that are going to happen in Mike Smith's defense. And when you can't get there with your basic four-man rush, you've got to dial up some different things, which is going to leave your secondary vulnerable.
And you know what? But the secondary is good enough. And, Trevor, I think you'll back me up on this. Vernon Hargraves has stepped up to the plate and is a legitimate, bona fide NFL starting cornerback with playmaking ability. Opposite Brent Grimes, we've seen Chris Conte have a really fantastic training camp. I think he's been the best safety that they've had. Keith Tandy has been solid. J.J. Wilcox has been solid. I think that they can get away with blitzing better this year, and I think you're going to see it more often because of the play in the secondary.
I agree with you on the Hargraves part. Him and Brent Grimes, I think, are going to be plenty suitable for this defense. But again, biggest concern is the pass rush, because in Mike Smith's defense, it's not overly aggressive. So, like, for example, at the beginning of the game tonight, which was on Saturday, and even in the Bengals game, you saw them march down the field a little bit, and all you really see on the broadcast is you'll see where the ball is, and then all of a sudden, you know, the camera will pan as the pass goes over there, and A.J. Green or somebody will catch it near the sideline, and it's like Ryan Smith is, you know, like late to get over there, and you go, oh, man, he's getting cooked.
Yeah.
No. That's how the defense is set up.
It's like kind of bend but don't break.
Right. Mike Smith's defense with his corners is very, you play off coverage. Mm-hmm. You keep everything in front of you. Like, for example, the Vernon Hargraves pick where he breaks on the ball immediately, keeps it in front of you, and when you see something you recognize that you know you can go get, you go get it.
But and Ryan Smith almost had a pick.
You play. Right, tonight. He did. But, like, if it's not that, then you're just playing damage control. And the problem with that is if you don't have a pass rush, then there will not be enough opportunities for you to get takeaways, and they will instead just continue to march down the field until it becomes a problem.
Yes.
So that's why pass rush needs to mean a lot more for the Buccaneers than it would for sometimes other teams. Like, if you have, like, for example, the Jaguars, they have Boye and Jalen Ramsey, and those guys are going to lock up receivers. They're going to play press coverage. They're going to play close.
Right.
They can do that. That's just how they're built. And so even if the Jaguars didn't have a great pass rush, they could probably hold or at least, like, decoy their wide receivers.
Yeah.
Bucks can't really do that.
That's a good point.
That's why the pass rush kind of worries me. The offense does not. I'm with you totally on the offensive point. I think there's plenty of talent, and once they start rolling, they're going to put the points on plenty. It's just, I think the defense has got to step up in that one area if this team wants to be a playoff team, and not just a playoff team, but, you know, we've talked about that a lot. The players have talked about it a lot. The coaches, they keep using the word playoffs, playoffs, playoffs. But, like, the goal is not just to make the playoffs.
Right.
Like, they want to win a Super Bowl.
That's right.
And if you want that, then if you want to beat playoff teams, you have to have a pass rush.
Yes.
No, like, no question about it. So, doesn't matter what defense you play.
Does the fact that they have what appears to be two really, really good specialists this year in Brian Anger and Nick Folk, can special teams cover some of the mistakes by the offense and defense enough?
I won't say the word cover, because I would rather let special teams be a compliment than
That's how you want special teams to be. That's the goal. But what I'm saying is are they good enough where they can cover up some of the mistakes offensively or defensively?
I suppose
they are. I mean, look,
like, if Anger's pinning him back from the 20s,
I was going to say, if teams have to go 90 yards,
help. Yeah, right,
you know, it's certainly going to help. It's gonna. But that also, if that offense moves down the field methodically, that also limits the opportunities for your offense to be on the field.
That's right,
as well. So, I mean, it's kind of a catch-22 as far as that goes. But yeah, no, I think, I mean, listen, you want to have good specialists, and I think they do have that. One quick thing before we get done with this podcast. They still, I think, you know, Adam Humphries is probably still that guy that Dirk trusts the most returning punts.
Yeah.
Bernard Reedy tonight, though, really helped himself a little bit.
Yeah, Dirk admitted that, too. Dirk said that Bernard has been really steady. He helped himself tonight. So let's wrap up the podcast. Roster cuts are coming after Thursday's game. We're going to do our next podcast after Thursday's game. So did anybody really help themselves tonight? Did anybody hurt themselves tonight? We didn't see Josh Huff
at all. I will say that I think Dante Dye helped himself a little bit. Mm-hmm. There was the touchdown that wasn't called a touchdown that you could have very well been –
the call or not.
Yeah.
Guy was there. Yep. He made the catch.
Yep.
Basically did everything that he could.
Yes.
He also had another catch on a third down
right.
that ended up, I think, being a penalty that was a real tough catch. That again,
yeah, the guy was draped all over
right,
him, and he still got
the ball. It's one of those plays where it's like, okay, well, that's a penalty. It doesn't go on the stat sheet, but when you've watched it, you remember yeah. that Dye made a hell of an effort.
And he missed the first two preseason games, so this was a must for him to really
so
show up tonight.
I think that with Josh Huff out tonight, who I think right now is the fifth wide receiver, Dye kind of crept in there a little bit. So
and Reedy.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, if they're going to keep an outside receiver, I think it's either going to be Huff, Dye, or Martino, somebody who could play anywhere. And then if they're going to keep a slot guy, I guess it's going to be Reedy. I don't know, though. I those are the guys that they're
Well, you would know
about.
If you read Scott's Fab Five, where he predicted the 53-man roster.
Bingo. Thank you very much.
These youngsters.
Appreciate that.
Jeez Louise. Yeah. I mean, it's a prediction, but basically...
I mean, I clicked the link, but it was the... Yeah, sorry, just kidding.
Well, hey, listen, and Devontae Lambert looks like he's going
to
be out.
Yeah,
he was a guy.
Of time.
Yeah, he was a guy.
Was he the one that had the wrist injury?
Correct.
Yeah. They
yep.
said? So that probably
yeah.
means
I think
there's
he's
a fracture in there.
Yeah, I think he's on injured reserve.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to designate him as the guy to come back after 8 weeks. I think they're going to save that for a more important player. So Devontae Lambert was one of the guys on my 53, and I think that he was on the way to make that mm-hmm. that roster because he's been the primary backup to Will Golston yeah. as that big, strong side defensive end on the left-hand side. So is there a favorite to move into that role right now for that other defensive end spot? Or is that going to be decided on Thursday night against the Redskins?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know. It's kind of a toss-up. They're getting
Channing
thin.
Ward?
They're getting thin.
Yeah.
They're getting really thin.
And the problem is they're way down on the waiver claim wire.
Yes.
So when these cuts start happening, it's not like, you know, in the last couple
like
of years
Ealy.
Where they've had an opportunity to, you know, pick up some guys.
Well, that's interesting. Is Coney Ealy a guy that the Bucks look at? He did
I
not
put in a waiver claim for him. Absolutely.
Yeah, he did
well,
not.
But they won't be the only one.
He's not
going
to make
list.
It. He's yeah. not going to make it to Tampa. But am I putting in a waiver claim? 100%.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. We're going to wrap this up. We'll be back later in the week with another podcast real quick. This week, Monday, Tuesday practice for the Bucks off Wednesday. And then the game is Thursday night here at Raymond James Stadium against the Washington Redskins. Should be a thrilling matchup.
Deshaun Jackson revenge game?
Yeah, he's going to play. Dirk might run him out there for
just
a series.
Just for one play.
Like, come on, guys.
Go long.
Let's score yeah. a touchdown. Let's throw a touchdown in the preseason.
Chris Baker would like another shot,
yeah.
the Redskins.
Chris
they didn't
Baker
even...
at running back for one play?
Why not?
Revenge?
Goal line back, yeah.
Yeah,
I like it.
I like that. All right, anyway, we appreciate it. We appreciate our sponsor tonight. We appreciate
MyBookie.ag.
MyBookie.ag. Make sure you go check them out. If you're of the betting variety, make sure that you go check them out and try and win some money.
And be sure to use the word pewter because then you get a 100% bonus on your first bet.
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, I want to thank everybody tonight, and we will be back later in the week for another podcast here. We appreciate all of our listeners to the Pewter Nation podcast. For Trevor Sikkema and the boss man, Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Hooks, and we'll see